Hi, everybody. Have I told you lately that I love you? I really, really do. You know, good news, this week it seems like the virus is finally retreating, and I want you to know that we're working on a plan to reopen weekend worship services the very moment it's okay for a church our size. Now, before we get started, I want to encourage you to pause this video and print out the outline notes, because today is an extremely practical and important message that you're going to be able to apply in many areas of your life. So you might want to just do that right now. Just pause the video, print out your outline, and then come back. Okay, we've been in a series called The Awesome Power of Vision. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. What does that mean, the people perish? It means they become discouraged. You need a vision for every area of your life, or you're going to get discouraged. You need a vision for your personal life. You need a vision for your marriage, if you're married. You need a vision for your work, for your small group, for your church, and for your future. Now today, I want to share with you the antidote to the greatest enemy of vision. And what is that? What's the greatest enemy of vision? It's division. Division destroys your vision. Division destroys vision. Nothing causes you to lose your vision for anything faster than conflict and division. And today, because of all what we've been going through this past year, conflict is at an all-time high, really every kind of area. People's anger is at a higher level. Why? Well, let me explain. You know, this week I learned something I never knew, and it's about what causes an explosion. And I learned that for an explosion to take place, you have to have three elements, and all three of them are necessary. First, you need fuel. You got to have fuel for an explosion. Second, you need containment, okay? And third, you need a spark. Fuel, containment, and a spark. Now, it was that second element that I didn't know about that causes an explosion. You need containment. In other words, if I take a can of gasoline and I pour it all out over the pavement and I throw a match on it, it's going to create a fire, but it won't explode. It has to be contained in a can or in a tank for it to explode. Now, when I heard that, I immediately saw the parallels to all the conflict and relationships that people are having these days and why there's so many explosions of anger out there today. Why? It's because we've been in containment. For the past year, due to COVID-19 pandemic, we have been in a period of strict containment, trying to prevent the spread of the virus. And so we've had quarantines and we've had stay-at-home orders and we've had social distancing and we've had masks and all other kinds of limitations on our normal freedom that we're not used to. We've felt contained. And so that containment is frustrating. And now that we're in a new year, it's annoying, it's irritating, and it's often infuriating. And as I said, now in a new year, then things haven't changed. We're all really tired of being contained. And guess what? That's a flammable situation. So I'm telling you that if you've had more than your normal share of explosions in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your friendships at work, if you had more conflict, more explosions, it's because of this containment principle. We're all frustrated. And when it's all contained and it's all bottled up, the smallest spark can set you off and create a huge explosion of anger and misunderstanding and hurt feelings and disappointment, conflict. In fact, I just read this week, I was in the book of Nehemiah in my His Word, First Word, and His Word, Last Word, and I found a guy named Sanballat who said he exploded with anger. Now, as your pastor, I told you at the very start of this pandemic, almost a year ago, that my job is not to help you with the disease, but to help you cope with the dis-ease of the disease. The stress and the fatigue and the pressure from all that containment and all the changes we had last year. Now, the antidote to division and conflict is harmony. So that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to give you four biblical principles on how to maintain harmony in your home, how to maintain harmony in your marriage, in your family, how to maintain harmony in your small group, in your neighborhood, in your church. Very, very important principles. Look at this verse, Ephesians 4:3, in the Amplified, says, strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony of the Spirit. Do you do that? Do you strive earnestly to guard, keep the harmony of the Spirit in your home? Are you working at harmony in your home, in your relationships, in your small group all the time? 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's Word translation says this: God is not a God of disorder. He's the God of peace, and he wants it in all of his churches. In the Living Bible, it says he likes harmony. God wants harmony in your life, and if you're married, he wants harmony in your marriage, and if you're in a small group, he wants you to have harmony in your small group. He wants you to have harmony in your work, in your neighborhood, in your church, and literally everywhere else. Now, the principles of that produce harmony in the church also work in any other relationship. So this message is going to have really wide application in your life. Now, I want to tell you a little personal note here. The origin of this message is very different than when I normally prepare a message. And I thought you'd be interested in knowing how I came up with this message. Because last Wednesday night, I went to bed early because I was exhausted. I had been counseling pastors of other churches all day, and also people involved in marriage conflict, people who were discouraged by conflict. The pastors were discouraged about conflict among their members and churches because there's an epidemic of conflict going on even in churches because of this containment that I talked about earlier. I mean, there have been a number of articles written saying that churches today are more divided than at any other time since the Civil War. And the divisions are actually over three different areas where opinions differ widely. First, surveys show members of churches are divided over how to respond to this COVID pandemic. And even in churches that have already reopened, attendance is only about 30 to 40% of normal attendance across America. Second, surveys show that churches are divided over racial equality right now. And third, surveys show that members are deeply divided over politics. Now, I'm sure we've got disagreements on all three of those in our Saddleback family. Anyway, I went to bed after counseling all these pastors and dealing a little bit of marriage counseling too. And at about 1:30 in the morning, God woke me up. And I woke up at 1:30 in the morning and he put a phrase in my mind, and it was this phrase: do not let. Do not let. And I thought, well, okay, if God put that phrase in my mind, he wanted me to get up and study that phrase through the scripture. So I did. And I got up at 1:30 and spent the rest of the night searching all through the scriptures for that phrase. And you know what I found? I found 40 different do not let commands in scripture. They were so practical, so applicable to everything we're going through today. Honestly, I was practically shouting hallelujah. I was so encouraged by the time I finished that study, and I was amazed at how relevant those 40 commands were to all of the tension and all of the conflict that we're seeing in our culture today. Now, today, I'm just going to share some of those do not let commands, and I'm going to categorize them as four principles for preventing explosions, okay? How to lower the tension in all of your relationships. Four principles for maintaining harmony and preventing explosions, okay? Here are the four principles. Number one, reserve judgment until I know all the facts and the whole story. That's the first principle of harmony and the first principle of lowering the anger factor in your relationships. Reserve judgment until I know all the facts and the whole story. Are you the kind of person that if there's a conclusion within 50 yards, you jump for it? Are you quick to make assumptions? Are you swift to think the worst about people? You know, this is everywhere because there's no unbiased news anymore in the media. Everything's biased, and every night, regardless of what cable channel you watch, you're going to get 3 hours of strong opinion, not news, and they always leave out the parts of the story that don't match their opinion. But in today's information society, there are two absolutely vital qualities that you need to work on as a Christian. And the two qualities you need today to reserve judgment until you have all the facts and know the whole story, the two solid commitments and two solid values you need are sound judgment and discernment. Sound judgment and discernment. They're just friends. Too many gullible Christians out there, willing to believe anything they hear or anything they read on social media. They don't stop and question it. They just automatically accept anything on the internet or on cable TV. Here's the first principle. Proverbs 3:21. Preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let, there's the first do not let them out of your sight. What do I not let out of my sight? Sound judgment and discernment. What is he saying there? He's saying, don't throw away your common sense. Don't be gullible. Don't believe everything you hear. That's going to cause conflict. It says preserve sound judgment. What does preserve mean? It means you hold on to something. It means you don't quickly throw it out. You don't get rid of it. You hold on to sound judgment and you hold on to discernment. And he says that's going to be the first thing that will help you have harmony in your home and everywhere else. Why? Well, God says this. You're going to have conflict when you make snap judgments. How many times have you assumed something with your spouse or a friend or somebody else and you got into trouble over it? You don't make snap judgments. You don't be so quick to condemn, criticize. You don't assume that you know people's motivation, because you don't. And you don't assume you've heard the whole story. When you assume you've heard the whole story and you know all the facts and you jump to conclusion, it's going to create conflict. Proverbs 18:13 says this in the Living Bible. What a shame. Yes, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. This is the first principle to lower the explosion level in your life. Don't decide before knowing all the facts. Listen for the whole story. 1 Corinthians 4:5, the first part of it in the Message, says this. Don't get ahead of the master and jump to conclusions with your judgments before all the evidence is in. That's pretty clear. Don't rush to judgment before you heard the whole story. One reason I don't read or post much on social media, because I learned that people will take anything you say and they'll interpret it and amplify it and change it and mean whatever they want it to mean. They make snap judgments without getting all the facts and the full story. And every time, they're wrong. You know, every week I get letters from well-meaning people who will take, for instance, one thing that I say in a sermon to build a whole case about something that I don't even believe at all. Why? Because they don't preserve sound judgment and discipline. They're listening to biases. They're making snap decisions. We all need to realize that everybody, I've got a filter and you've got a filter. Everybody has a filter that we hear for everything we hear. And although when you say something to your spouse, you say something to a friend, you say something to me, you may mean it one way. I'm going to hear it and they're going to hear it in a very different way. If you don't understand that, you're going to have a lot of conflict. When you assume that they understand what you meant by what you said, instead of what they think you meant, you're going to have conflict. You say stuff all the time that people take in different ways, and you didn't mean it that way. That's why the Bible tells us to reserve judgment. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this, you should not pass judgment, this is today's English version, you should not pass judgment on anyone before the right time. And the final judgment must wait until the Lord comes, and he'll bring to light dark secrets and expose the hidden purposes of people's minds. So till that comes, you can forget trying to figure out people's motivations. You know, here's another verse, Ephesians 5:6, the NCV. Do not let anyone fool you by telling you the things that aren't true. There's another do not let. Do not let anyone fool you. Now, the reason I put that command in is because I discovered it was the most repeated do not let command in the Bible. In fact, 6 times in the New Testament, God says this, do not let anybody fool you with lies. He says it 6 times, do not let anybody fool you with lies. Is that a warning we need to hear in today's culture? Yeah, 6 times God says, do not let anyone fool you with lies. Today, we're gullible. Christians have been deceived by conspiracy theories, duped by social media, misled by hoaxes, tricked by false report. You know, I used to wonder why the Bible has so many, many warnings in it about false prophets and false teachers. Because honestly, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't see that many false teachers around. Of course, I knew there were cults, but they're obviously false. But in today's culture, we now have many well-meaning and sincere Christians who are spouting things that are simply false. They're just wrong. And in many of them are in the media, and that's why we have to test everything in the Bible by God's word. If they don't have a verse for it, you should not automatically accept it. You see, the question should always be, when you hear something and you go, you say, what does God say about it? What does God say about it? So that's the first principle. Reserve judgment, okay? Something your wife said, or something you said, or something your husband said, or something I said, or anybody, until you've heard all the facts and the whole story. Now, here's the second principle for maintaining harmony in your home and reducing the number of explosions in your marriage and relationships and family and group and church. Here it is, number two. Be sensitive and empathetic to what offends others. Be sensitive and empathetic to what offends others. We have to be sympathetic to the things that offend other people. Now, the Bible's got a ton of things to say about this in relationships. 1 Corinthians 10:32, Amplified. Do not let yourself, there's a do not let yourself cause anyone to be offended. Oh, my goodness. You talk about a hard verse. Don't let yourself cause anybody to be offended. And the rest of the verse says, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, that means non-Christians, or they're in the family of God, those in the family of God. Now, today, this principle of being sensitive to the offenses that are caused of others, when people get offended, this principle is more important because in today's culture, it seems like everybody's got a chip on their shoulder. It seems like it's easy to offend everybody. These days, everybody feels like a victim. Everybody's offended by everything. We all get offended easily, and we all offend others easily. But in that context, God tells us that if we're truly Christians and we're really trying to be Christ-like, we are called to do two things. First, we're not to take offense from others. Okay, a lot of verses basically tell us, don't let yourself be offended by anything. Okay, and second, we don't do anything that causes others to be offended. Those are marks of a Christian. Now, I can't ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder if you admit that you're often insensitive to the impact of your words and your actions. Can you admit that? I wonder how many of you say, I have sometimes, maybe not very often, I've sometimes been insensitive to my spouse. I sometimes have not been empathetic to what offends her or him. I have not always been empathetic to what offends others. I'm not as sensitive as I think I am. Let me ask you a question. Can you quickly think of five things that you do that offend your spouse? Can you do that? If you can't think of five things that offend your spouse, just ask them. They'll be glad to tell you. It's far easier for you to think of five things that other people do that offend you. You can do that. That's human nature. I can think of things that offend me. I have a hard time of thinking of things that I do that offend others. By the way, I just want excited to announce that Kay and I have decided to teach an online marriage message in the next couple weeks, because we've seen so much conflict in marriages, probably around Valentine's Day, and we hear all of the constant stress that the pandemic and the containment's causing in marriages to implode or explode. And so we want to help you lower that stress. We're going to do that during the middle of the week for those of you who are married couples. But this second principle of harmony is to be sympathetic and empathetic instead of being defensive when we cause an offense. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says this, live in harmony, that's what we're talking about, and be sympathetic. They go together.